Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with our friend Ray Allen. Ray is producing and engineering the show. He does such a fine job for us. Together, we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, the 4th of February, 2016. My Facebook page tells me it's National Friends Day. So, hello to all of our friends and our many Facebook friends. We still have some room for more on our Facebook page, which is under my name, Bill Buckmaster. We're going to begin with a newsmaker interview with the Arizona Superintendent of Public Instruction, Diane Douglas. She'll be on the live line from the state capitol. About 30 minutes past the hour, we will meet a lady who wants to represent Arizona's second legislative district in the state senate. Her name is Shelley Kice. Then at 12:45, we welcome again Attorney Don Luce, the Buckmaster Show legal contributor. The Buckmaster Show live line is open for your calls, comments, and suggestions, 790-2040. And you can, of course, look at us on Facebook and Twitter. We're at Buckmaster Show. Let's go now to the state capitol and the superintendent of public instruction for the state of Arizona, Diane Douglas. Superintendent Douglas, how are you this afternoon?
Oh, I'm doing great, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Well, it's good to hear from you again. And as you might have heard, as you were on hold there during our news headlines, you were our top story. And that was pertaining to Senator Jeff Dial, who has introduced this measure that would, in effect, remove many of your duties. What is this all about?
I wish I knew for sure. I've been very adamant about the direction I think that education needs to go, that we're on the wrong track, and the pro-Common Core people seem to think if they can't beat you at the ballot box, try to beat you, I guess, in the legislature.
Well, and is there any movement on this? Was this going to be heard today or something?
It was heard today,
okay.
And I testified, and it passed out of said education by a vote of 5-2.
Well, what would this do, in effect, to your position?
Well, one of the things it would do is that the superintendent is, the board sets policy based on the recommendation of the Department of Ed and what we know that the schools, our children, our teachers need. The board approves that policy or modifies it and then approves it, and then we're involved with implementing it. One of the things that has been problematic is them having staff that are basically unaccountable. A board that meets once a month, 11 times a year for 2 or 3 hours, is not capable of supervising employees. That's an affront to the taxpayers of Arizona that state employees would just heedlessly go on. And statute now very clearly gives the superintendent direction to manage that staff and to direct their operations, because I'm not only a member of the board, I'm the executive officer of the board. So all of that's delegated to me. They want to strip that away. We have investigators who have always, by statute, were supposed to work under the direction of the Department of Education. And they not only has the board had them working for them, they've a little less than a year ago moved them out from our building. And what we found when we did an investigation were, by huge percentages, over 30%, teachers whose licenses had been revoked or suspended or letters of censure have never been followed up on. They've never been reported to the national database or made sure other districts were aware that there were issues or concerns. That's because it's in an area that's unsupervised. And we need to make sure to keep the children of Arizona safe that these employees are doing the job they've been tasked with by the citizens of Arizona.
Superintendent Diane Douglas is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. One of our callers to the live line is Jim. I think it's our friend Jim Kelly. Jim, go ahead. You're with the superintendent.
Thank you. Superintendent Douglas, now that the race to the top mandates of the Department of Education have been repealed, what are your specific objections to the Common Core standards?
because we know the Common Core standards are, number one, not under the control of Arizonans, and we know that they're not rigorous enough. There has been expert after expert all across the nation who has reviewed them. They call them college and career ready standards, but yet there's no requirement or there's no standards for calculus and trigonometry. There's no standards for foreign language, things we know students have to have if they're going to be admitted into a university. We know at the lower grades that many standards are developmentally inappropriate, meaning they're being introduced to a child before they're mentally ready to deal certain tasks. That's just a couple of quick examples for you.
All right. And getting back to this Senator Dyle's bill, you said it is one of the worst bills you've ever seen. And are you hoping that people will let the senator know and the Senate president, President Biggs, do you want to have people let him know that you feel this is an outrageous bill?
Absolutely. You know, last year there was a bill to try to do, and the words of one of my employees is a great example, last year's bill that I supported it only to try to make less problems and to try to help make a compromise. It's really wrong. Employees can't be unsupervised. Employees can't be doing whatever they want, and they have to be doing the jobs that are expected of them. But that was a tiny little tweak, and one of my employees said today when he was testifying, you know, that was a snowball. This is an avalanche.
Now, do you think there may be just kind of an undercurrent here of some state lawmakers that are really they're kind of trying to undercut your power and maybe really kind of trying to get out to get you? Would you go that far?
You know what? I don't ascribe people's motivation to them. But, you know, I spent 2 months traveling the state of Arizona and listening to the voters last spring, and then we spent probably another 2 months in the fall listening to the voters. And I don't remember hearing one voter in Arizona clamoring for less democracy and having more of their children's education being determined by an unelected, unaccountable board. I believe when they looked at my name on the ballot and they heard my message, they voted for me to be their voice. This is their seat. I just have the privilege of holding it right now. And they want me to have the powers to make sure their children get the education they deserve.
Diane Douglas is with us, 790-2040. If you have a question or comment for the superintendent, my next question for Superintendent Douglas is, will you be voting yes on Proposition 123, the school funding measure on the ballot? Have you made up your mind on that vote?
Bill, I never tell people how I vote except for public votes that I take in a board meeting.
Okay.
I always, as I did when I was on the Peoria board, I always advised our constituency. It was my job as a board member to vote to refer it to the ballot or not. It was their job to analyze all the pros, cons, upsides, downsides, all the details, and then vote their conscience.
So you're not out there advocating for people to vote for 123?
I don't tell people how to vote. It is a very complex issue. I think they need to not listen to just the advertising talking points, but do the homework themselves.
What is your biggest concern about 123, Superintendent?
Clearly the effect on the state land trust. You know, that, in my opinion, and I think legally, that money does not belong to us. It belonged to children 100 years ago. It belongs to children 100 years from now. And we're just guardians of it. So anything that hurts the corpus of the land trust, I'm very concerned about.
Let's talk about school vouchers after we take our first break. How would that be? Please stay with us, Superintendent, okay?
I would be glad to.
All right. We're going to take our first break here on the Buckmaster Show as we push toward now 12:15 on this Thursday afternoon. As it starts to warm up a little bit, kind of another very chilly night, but things warming up, looks like a gorgeous weekend.
I'm Dr. Kevin Lehman. I've got one wife, five kids, two grandchildren, and cockroaches. You know what I did? Smartest call I ever made in my life. I called my friend Shelby Hawkins at Five Star Termite and Pest Control. I was introduced to a guy named Joey. He'd been my technician for 11 years. A great job. Guess what? No more cucarachas.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The Regional Transportation Authority is funding new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The 20-year RTA plan also includes roadway improvement projects and transit service enhancements to get you where you want to go. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region safer and more accessible. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, our Friday Focus interview with Adelita Grijalva, TUSD Board President. The Friday Roundtable features Dan Scheer, the Green Valley News, and Mari Herreras of the Tucson Weekly. Matt Russell hosts Weekend Watch, all happening noon to 1 on Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI Tucson. Back. The name of the show is Buckmaster, and that's me, Bill Buckmaster, and we have the Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state of Arizona, Diane Douglas, with us on our Buckmaster Show live line. The superintendent taking a break to speak with us from her office at the state capitol. Superintendent, lawmakers have taken the first steps to eventually allowing all 1.1 million children in our public schools to get vouchers of tax dollars to attend private and parochial schools. Is this a good move?
Well, you know, I support vouchers. I support charter schools because it gives parents the options and choices that they need for their children's education. You know, it's a school, a teacher's job to teach a child. It's a parent's responsibility to make sure their children are well educated. And as I always say, God gives children to parents, not government bureaucracies, no matter how well intended they are, that bureaucracy may be. But you know, we're talking about taxpayer money, And we fought a little war over that over 200 years ago, taxation without representation. And we have to make sure that in our system of education, if it's going to be public funded, then there has to be the appropriate elected oversight of the taxpayer money, in my opinion.
So the big question, I think, would be how are we going to fund this? Would you agree?
That's going to be a challenging question. We have ESA programs right now that are more limited in scope. They do offer parents a lot of great choices where they need to have them. We never should lose sight of the fact that despite 20 years now or thereabouts of a very robust charter program here in Arizona, still about 85% of our children are in traditional public schools, and that's a choice their parents are making. So I think we need to respect all the options and choices. But again, I'm here to represent the citizens and the taxpayers, and I think proper oversight of their money always has to be in place in whatever system we use.
We have a teacher shortage right now in a couple of districts here in southern Arizona. Is that being reflected, Diane, statewide?
Well, yes, we know we have problems with teacher recruitment and retention. What's the misnomer in it, Bill, is that we do not lack people holding teacher certifications. What we lack is them wanting to be in the classroom to be teachers. They're choosing other professions and other industries.
Really? So we have a lot of teachers that have the certification, but for whatever reason, they've chosen that they do not want to go into education in the classroom.
And that can be for a whole myriad of reasons. When I was out and around the state in the We Are Listening tour, overwhelmingly, the message we heard, and regardless of whether we were in rural, urban, you know, Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, however you want to classify an area or a voter block, overwhelmingly what we heard is the citizens of Arizona want their teachers paid better.
Your State of the Education address was a week or so ago. Mm-hmm. What would you say the bottom line message was out of that address?
Well, I think that we can always do better, but that we do amazing things here in Arizona. You know, that for some reason, I don't know why, we like to beat ourselves up, and there's some in different areas that like to tell people very publicly how terrible the education system in here is, but nothing could be further from the truth. We have a lot of great opportunities for our children, and we're leaders in the nation in many areas. They turn to us to see how we do things. And I think that's something to be very proud of. I think that's something certainly I'm intent on working on and continuing to improve well as long as I have the privilege to hold this office.
Well, and I think a lot of that, the bad publicity, comes from the fact that we don't put, I guess, as much money into education as other states, and we consistently rank quite low compared to other states. Would you agree with that?
Well, that's probably factually correct that from a funding standpoint that we do rank lower, clearly, when those statistics come out. But, you know, and certainly more money is great, and I will always advocate for more money for our classroom teachers. But money's not the sole answer. You know, there's a lot of different things we can do. One of the things, in my opinion, it seems that we've lost sight of is the true purpose of education, and it's not to just create college enrollees or applicants, and it's not to create worker bees. One of the terms that go around in the industry and education field that just makes me so angry is when they refer to our children as human capital. No, they're there to be educated, to fulfill their God-given talents, dreams, and aspirations, and to become good citizens. That's the difference between the American education system and systems that we supposedly envy all across the world.
What do you know about JTED, the Joint Technical Education District here in Tucson, that funding perhaps being restored? Do you have any insight into that?
Well, I think one of the things that's you know, I had always told people when they brought Common Core to Arizona and said it was college and career ready programming, Arizona should have said thanks, but no thanks. We have a great and very vibrant JTED program that leads to the certification. One of the questions I have about it is I understand their intent to restore the funding. It's part of the governor's budget to pass that funding along to schools and districts, yet that's the authority of the Department of Education. So I'm not sure why that's going that direction either, but absolutely, they once again create great opportunities for students, and one size fits one. So we need to offer all kinds of opportunities and programs for our children.
How about parents who do not want their children to take tests? Can they opt out in this state?
In Arizona, no, they cannot. We asked for a second opinion from the new attorney general, thinking that they would take into account sections of Arizona statute that are very clear about what the legislature believes on parents' rights. And yet, unfortunately, the new attorney general concurred with the previous attorney general and said, no, in Arizona, parents don't have the legal right to opt out. But parents do not only have the rights that are delineated in statute. Parents' rights are given to them by God, and they are innumerable. So I believe, with all due respect to Attorney General Brnovich, he's wrong on that one, but I think we need some help from the legislature. Parents need help to ensure, for whatever reasons they choose to opt out, that right is protected.
And some parents choose to homeschool the kids. They don't
Just
want
that.
The kids into the system. How do you feel about that, the homeschooling issue?
Again, I support whatever choice a parent makes that is right for their child.
What's your goal here for this next year, your second full year in office, Superintendent Douglas?
Just keep keeping on. You know, we heard a comment today when I testified, and I hear this sadly all too often, that, you know, they have to push through this onerous bill 1416 because we have to get back to the business of educating children. Well, I assured the Senate Education Committee, and I will assure your listeners, each and every day, that is our sole focus, is the education, the best education for the children of Arizona. We never take a day off. We never stop thinking about it. We never stop working on it.
And that bill number, Senator Jeff Dial's bill, is 1416. If people want to make their opinions known on that, that's the bill number, correct?
That is correct, and it comes down to a very simple choice. Did you elect someone to oversee and administer the education of your children, or do you want it solely in the hands of an unelected board who's accountable to no one?
Let's go back to our live line and see if we can work one more question in for Superintendent Douglas. Tom has called us. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, thanks very much. Can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah, we can hear you mm-hmm. fine.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. Thank you so much for being on today and for your comments. My question is twofold, actually. Just in general, since 1963, do you think education in America has kind of improved or not overall?
That's a tough question, Tom, because in some ways it has, but in other ways it has not. Certainly the technology and things we bring to education are amazing and increase it, but I think if you asked the general public if they think their children have the content knowledge and some of the skills that they need to have to be successful, I think the answer is overwhelmingly no. We know from our colleges of education that they don't believe in teaching children basic skills that they need to be successful, and that to me is wrong.
And I think, Tom, you had a second part to your question. Go ahead quickly.
I think actually the issue is really not the education system per se, but society in general. Here's my two comments. Number one, I think that kicking God out of the schools in 1963 has a lot to do with where we are today as a society. I think that there would be no problem with the American public if they brought God back into the schools, even on an elective basis. And the other thing is, I really, really don't like the fact that my kids are forced to use computers literally in kindergarten. I just think that's too young. Their brains are still forming. They need to be using their hands and stuff more than that.
Okay, Tom, well, good to comments. Go ahead.
To the first point, I would say absolutely. We are doing a disservice to our children if we don't explain to them world history and world religions, and they have a complete understanding of that area, which can legally be taught and can be in the schools. And I personally agree with you. I think kindergarten is too young to be sitting a child in front of a computer instead of letting them interact with their fellow students and their teacher.
All right. On that note, Superintendent Douglas, we will let you go, and we hope you have a great afternoon and evening. Thank you.
You as well, Bill. I look forward to speaking to you again soon.
Thank you very much. The Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state of Arizona with us for a half an hour on the first portion of the Buckmaster Show. There is much more to come. We're going to talk politics. Shelley Kice is going to be with us talking about her run for Legislative District 2 at the State Senate. That's next.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. We bring you national stories ignored by the mainstream media. Sources include the Washington Times News Service, Personal Liberty Digest, the National Center for Policy Analysis, the Washington Free Beacon, and the Heartland Institute. It is national news coverage from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with 2 separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona is setting the standard for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. Being accredited with BBB means that your business holds the same high standards and consumers can count on you to keep your word. Hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans use our website every month. Make sure they find your business. Call us today to discuss the many benefits of BBB accreditation at 888-6161 or go to our website at bbb.org/Tucson.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. That is a beautiful area of the southwestern United States. It's that southwest corner of New Mexico, and Silver City is up about, anywhere from about 5,000 to 7,000 feet, and it's just it's a great climate. And check it out sometime. It's worth a 3-hour drive to go over to historic Silver City. There's lots of hiking opportunities, and of course, the world-famous Cliff Dwellings National Monument is just a short drive north of Silver City. The full listing of the several dozen great places to stay, like Spirit Canyon Lodge and Cottage of Whispering Canyon, are located, all the listing and their fine website, southwestnewmexico.org. Legislative District Number 2 runs along the Santa Cruz River and includes downtown Tucson, Green Valley, Sahuarita, and Nogales. It leans Democratic. 39% of the voters are Dems and 23.5% Republican, but 37.5% are independent of the two major parties. The LD2 Senate seat is now held by a Democrat, Andrea D'Alessandro. She has filed her nominating papers. She will face a challenge from Republican Shelley Keiss. Shelley is a businesswoman who had made an unsuccessful run for Congress against Martha McSally in 2014, and Shelley has filed her paperwork to run for the legislature, and she is now, actually, she filed, I think it was all toward the end of last year, wasn't it, Shelley?
I filed September 4th, yes, sir.
Yeah, you are bright and early there, ready to get at it. Good to see you.
Nice to see you, Bill.
Why have you decided to run for state office?
Well, I've decided to run because I'm passionate for bringing business back to Southern Arizona, especially Santa Cruz County.
Santa Cruz County is a rather, to put this, I guess, an understatement, economically depressed.
It's the second poorest county in our state.
So how do we turn things around?
Well, there's great opportunity down there, and we're starting to see things turn. I think it's really important to point out that we are just ready to take off in Southern Arizona economically, and starting down with Nogales, we have the produce industry down there, and we are seeing great success down there with many of the produce industry folks. I believe there's about 70 or 80 produce folks, about 200 brokers down there.
That many?
Yes. Whoa. Yes. It's just a great industry for all of America and Canada. We need to make sure that we get some legislation to get Highway 189 so that these trucks can move. If you've ever been down there, the lineup of trucks going,
Take hours.
Oh, absolutely. So we need to fully staff the Port of Mariposa. We need to make sure that we have roads that we can move these trucks along to get the produce where it needs to go. And I think that is just one of many industries. You know, this is the most diverse legislative district. It's a really exciting place to be, with the military at Davis-Monthan, with the retirement communities within Green Valley, with our tourism in Patagonia, our agriculture, our winemaking out in Sonoyta, cattle ranchers, agriculture, produce. This is just one of the most exciting diamonds in the rough of Arizona, and I'm looking forward to taking that message to Phoenix.
Almost like a microcosm of the state of Arizona.
It's a microcosm of the state of Arizona. It may even be a microcosm of the United States.
How about the education issue? I know you were able to listen a little bit to our interview with the Superintendent of Public Instruction, Diane Douglas, a few minutes ago, and I asked her about the JTED funding here, the Joint Technical Education District funding, pretty much was zeroed out here in the Tucson area. There's been some talk of restoring that. Do you think that would be a big priority with you to get JTED back on its feet?
It absolutely would be a big priority for me, and it ties in with the economy. Bill, I have been on the Business and Industry Council for JTED for about 4 years now, and I represent business and management. I'm very excited with what I see going on at the JTED right now. And on another hand, I'm a bit saddened. I'm excited because the visionary CTE, Career and Technical Education Director in Marana, has identified I believe they're calling it aerospace mechanic program. Now that lines up with how we have defined our strategic plan in this part of Southern Arizona. Entering into the aerospace industry, we have Raytheon here. We've just built the aerospace parkway. We're looking at developing a career program starting next year that will address bringing aerospace mechanics and transportation. Southern Arizona is coming together with a vision, and the vision is to build our economy, and I will work to make sure that we don't let government regulations or poor roads get in the way of that.
I was going to say that we should tell our listeners a little bit about yourself. You're a businesswoman, really a career businesswoman. You've
yes,
been
I
an
am.
Educator. You own your own consulting and training company. So you bring to the table lots of business experience.
Yes, I do. I've been in business for 25 years. I do organizational consulting. We do workforce development. I've worked with some of the largest companies in the United States, premier diversified manufacturers, as well as large federal agencies, not-for-profits as well.
Is there something about Democrat Andrea D'Alessandro that you feel that she has not lived up to what she should be doing?
I know what I can do, and I know that I can work for education, I can work for the economy, I know that I can work for the people of Southern Arizona. And that's what I'm out doing right now. And I'm attending meetings. I attended a meeting last week where we were looking at the constituency of veterans down in Santa Cruz County. We have about 2,200 veterans that we need to reach out to, make sure that they're getting services and provide them services.
How can we help those veterans?
Well, we did an organizational meeting last week. We're going to be coming together. The mayor of Nogales is coming out with a letter. So there'll be lots of opportunities, and I will certainly keep you posted on that.
This is a huge district. You talked about the diversification and the variety of different industry, and you have agriculture, you've got tourism, but geographically, it's a pretty big district.
It is. It is. I'm putting lots of miles on my car, and I'm getting to see
new
a lot
set of tires. And
yeah, coming up. Yeah. I'm getting to see lots of beautiful, beautiful countryside. But most important of all, I think that the experience I bring of 25 years of business is what's critical to building Southern Arizona.
And if people would like to learn more about you, Shelley, where can they go?
We have a website. It's KAIS, K-A-I-S, the number 4, AZ.com. KAIS, 4, AZ.com.
Yeah, fascinating background. Your family in the canals. You grew up in the Panama Canal Zone. Whenever I hear that, I think of Senator McCain, who was actually born in the Canal Zone.
Claro que sí.
Yeah.
Yes.
So
yes.
Do you speak a little Spanish?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes, I do.
All right. So on that note, adios, and thank you very much for being with us.
Muchísimas gracias, señor.
Okay. Shelley KAIS with us on The Buckmaster Show. LD2 candidate as a Republican. The attorney, the consular, Don Luce, is in the house. Mr. Luce will be my next guest on Buckmaster at exactly, set your watch by it, 12:44. The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions work together to deliver regional transportation improvements that are funded by the RTA's 20-year plan. So far, more than 700 transportation improvements have been completed, like enhanced transit services, new bike lanes and sidewalks, expanded roadways, and new traffic signal technologies. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers, upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
What if you could see tomorrow? Biosphere 2. Find out why visitors journey here from all over to explore future life on our planet. Guided tours take you inside and behind the scenes of this fascinating 21st century research experiment. Now, experience our new What If interactive event series every Saturday at this must-see wonder of the world. At Biosphere 2, you will see tomorrow.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100. Right. I like that one, Ray. Yeah. Ray Allen pushing the buttons and keeping us sounding very good on the other side of the glass. My name is Bill Buckmaster. It's the Buckmaster Show. And once a month, we are delighted to have one of our contributors, our legal contributor, Mr. Don Luce, attorney Don Luce of Luce, Brown & Hobkirk & Associates. They have offices conveniently located here in Tucson and the Phoenix area. Mr. Luce is the author of two very popular books. These books are not designed for his colleagues necessarily in the legal profession. They are written for the consumer. And the books are titled Arizona Laws 101, A Handbook for Non-Lawyers, and Estate Planning in Arizona, What You Need to Know. Don, how are you?
I'm great, Bill. Thanks for having me back.
Well, it's great to see you. I hope you had a chance to hear a little bit of our interview with the Superintendent of Public Instruction, Diane Douglas. I asked her about this move in the House of Representatives at the legislature to expand the school voucher system.
I did. You know, this is an interesting topic, not the least of which because there is a constitutional mandate to separate church from state, and under this proposal, at some point in the not too distant future, over 1 million children in public schools would be eligible for vouchers to attend private and parochial schools. So what that means is that in addition to it costing conceivably hundreds of millions of dollars to put 1 million children in private and parochial schools, not that there would be that many classrooms available anyway, but think about the concept of using tax money
right.
to put somebody into a Hebrew or a Catholic or some other parochial type of school, and what the ramifications that that might have on the separation of church and state.
And here we go again. This looks like it could, you know where I'm going with this one. This looks like it could be another in the challenges that wind up before the United States Supreme Court.
I don't know, but I would like to talk about the proposal itself.
Okay. Because
it comes out of the House Ways and Means Committee, so it has a long way to go before it actually becomes law, not the least of which it has to be passed by the full House. But under this proposal, the state would grant what would be called empowerment scholarships. And so for the next school year, any child attending kindergarten through fifth grade would be eligible for an empowerment scholarship. And this would be basically a scholarship roughly equivalent to what the state would provide in aid for public school. Group, the K through 5 group, would then be expanded in the next school year to 8th grade. So it would be K through 8 in the following school year. And then in 2019, it would be expanded through the 12th grade. It would be K through 12. So, you know, it sounds like 2019 is, you know, a long way away. Well, yeah, that's 3 years. So in 3 years under this proposal, over 1 million public school children would be eligible for vouchers that would enable those children to attend private and parochial schools. Now, there is some basis for this in existing legislation, and we've had a voucher system for many years, but it's been very limited. To give you some specifics, the vouchers were originally enacted for students with special needs. They were slowly expanded to include foster children, children of members of the military, and then children attending schools rated D or F by the Department of Education. Most recently, they were expanded to also include children living on Indian reservations. But, you know, with all of those groups included, there are only about 2,400 children who are currently getting vouchers. The proposal that we've been talking about and that the superintendent spoke to you about would open that door to potentially over 1 million children. So this would be a huge change in the voucher system in the state of Arizona.
So it would be dependent on roughly the equivalent of the aid that goes to a public school right now.
Right. Yeah. So if it cost $5,000, right. for instance, to educate a child for one school year, then under this proposal, the voucher would be roughly equivalent to that amount. And the child or the child's family could use that voucher to enroll the child in private school.
But again, we don't know what something like this would cost.
We do not know what something like this would cost. And I also suspect that given the size of the program, if this were ever made into law, it might be subject to legal testing. I'm sure that it would be a political hot potato because, again, as the superintendent pointed out, how are we going to regulate the education that these children would be receiving in private and parochial schools? If they're in public school, the answer is simple. The state regulates the education. But once you get into the private arena with hundreds of millions of dollars in vouchers, how do you really keep control over that kind of program?
Well, huge questions, and whether or not this will move forward, we shall see. And again, it would require approval of the full House, and then
it'd go to the Senate.
Senate, yes. And then the governor would have to sign it. Guns, allowing guns in public buildings. This has come up. Talk about a hot potato. This has come up in numerous legislative sessions, and it is back again.
It is, and in the past day or so, the Senate has actually put forth two bills. One is SB 1257 and the other is SB 1266, both of which concern guns. And under 1257, what the bills provides is that the public places that post the no weapons signs, in addition to providing the signage, which of course is paramount, and providing lockers, which is what the current law provides, would also have to add a security guard at each entrance and metal detectors. And under HB 1257, if the public building did not have signage, lockers, security guards, and metal detectors, then they could not prohibit the quarter of a million or so Arizonans who have state-issued CCW permits from entering the building. So HB 1257 would say that in any building, any public building, any library, any courthouse, any motor vehicle division, whatever, that didn't provide these four requirements, the signage, the lockers, the guards, and the detectors, they couldn't prohibit the CCW carriers from coming into the building with their concealed firearms. Now, there's also a companion bill. It's SB 1266 that speaks to what I'll call the doctrine of preemption. And what it says essentially is that cities and counties cannot enact legislation that preempts state laws regarding guns. And the people who have looked at 1266 say that this might be aimed actually at Tucson, which has refused to repeal a couple of gun regulations that former Attorney General Tom Horn said in 2013 are beyond the city's authority. One of these regulations allows police to request a breath sample from someone who has negligently discharged a firearm and appears intoxicated. And the other regulation requires people to report the loss or theft of a gun to the police. And so what this bill does, SB 1266, is it says that the cities, if they're found to have knowingly and willfully enacted gun regulations in excess of what the legislature permits, could be liable for a civil penalty of up to $50,000, and I find this next clause very interesting, subject the public officials to removal from office.
Wow. Ooh.
It's pretty strict in terms of the penalty. I don't know that this is going to I don't know if this is going to get political legs, because there was similar legislation that Governor Brewer, when she was in office, actually vetoed. But now we have a different executive in the governor's office, and you know, maybe this legislation has a chance this time.
Yeah, and nearly identical legislation last year never did reach Governor Doug Ducey's desk. So
no.
We'll see if it goes around this time.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about watching the legislative process is that what could pass in one year is
the climate may be completely different the
exactly.
next year. Don Luce with us, usually the first Thursday of the month. It's always good to have Mr. Luce. He is the author of Arizona Laws 101, a handbook for non-lawyers in estate planning in Arizona, what you need to know. And I'll tell you what you need to know about estate planning is, hey, it's the beginning of the year. Let's get it done.
Well,
let's get it done.
It's a good thing to check off your list of things
yeah.
to do this year.
Let's get it done. Don Luce, always a pleasure. And both books available where?
Any retail bookstore in the state of of Arizona and most public libraries in Arizona, in addition to Amazon.com.
Okay, Don Luce, hope you have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up this afternoon for Tucson at 4, one of our fine local talk shows. We do more local talk than any other local talk station, 6 hours a day here. 4 to 5, it is for Tucson, and that, of course, Mike Shaw's show. Tomorrow morning, 2 hours, Wake Up Tucson, Chris and Joe, the Daily Double, with Christy Simone from 8 to 9, and then Sean McCluskey as our newest local talk show from 9 to 10. And I'm back with you Friday, tomorrow, with Atalita Grijalva, president of the TUSD governing board, on our Friday Focus interview. Till then, I hope you have a great afternoon and evening.